behind the scenes at Score North and 1500 ESPN have sports opinions.
So they want you to hear them.
It's the perfect digital sports soapbox to scratch that Minnesota sports itch. This is the Score North Taxi Squad.
Kwesi may be cooking, but does he have enough ingredients in the pantry to bake us a franchise quarterback from scratch? Welcome into the Score North Taxi Squad, everyone. My name is Jason Stormer, joined along Artis Woods, AJ Frederickson, and MyTalk 107.1's Grant Wangstern rejoins the program today. Gentlemen, happy March Madness. I hope your brackets are not busted yet. But speaking of madness, it's been a mad week in Minnesota sports. The Minnesota Vikings continue to do moves. Like I mentioned, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is cooking, but also there's a lot to get to with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Wild as well. Gentlemen, let's just dive right into the Viking stuff. It was actually kind of a bummer. So we recorded last Wednesday night and we published the episode on Thursday. But then shortly on Thursday morning, around noon or so, or Thursday afternoon, the news broke that the Vikings made a trade with the Houston Texans to acquire another first round pick. In this case, it was number 23. So now the Vikings have number 11 and number 23 in terms of first round picks. And I just want to turn this to you guys with this question. Do you guys think now that the Minnesota Vikings have enough in their pantry to be able to make a trade to potentially move up in the NFL draft? Because there's a whole lot of steam about J.J. McCarthy this week that we'll get into a little bit later. But do you guys think the Vikings got what they need here to move up in the draft? Anybody can start off?
Yes,
I thought that was a good intro. I don't know. We can start over if you guys didn't like it.
I don't know.
Hey, we're raising the standards around here. That's good. But seriously, can you guys answer my question now?
Great move.
I think so. I think they'll have enough. From last time I checked, I heard the Giants were looking at JJ too. I think they're sitting at six right now. So I think it should be enough, two first-round picks. I also, even though my first thought was they'll package these two picks, move up and grab, you know, JJ. My second thought was I wouldn't be mad if they didn't move at all.
I've heard a lot of that.
I wouldn't be mad if they stayed at 11 and 23 and drafted two guys at 11 and 23. Do I think they'll do that? No, I think they'll try to move up. But, I mean, if Penix, I'm going to say it every week. I know people are not trying to hear it. Please, God, no Penix. No, please. No, I like Penix. I think Penix is a great quarterback prospect coming out of this draft. I think he'll be there at 11. And I think you have an opportunity to get possibly an edge rusher at 23, potentially. Somebody to boast up that defense at 23. I think you have enough on offense already. I think you just need to boast up that defense. So, to answer the question directly, I do think you have enough to move up. I think two first-round picks is enough to move up, especially, you know, 11 and 23 are two very solid picks. I'm just not sure if they should. I feel like draft that, I'd have to see who they are looking to trade with and what quarterbacks are available at that pick. That's how I see it. If you can move up and get Drake May, that would be interesting. I'm not going to lie. But I don't know if you can do that. I think Jalen and Williams will be off the board immediately. Mm-hmm. But we'll see about Drake. If he's there and you could possibly move up to three, that would be interesting. I'm still kind of iffy on Drake, but everybody else is high on him, so I'm like, I might just jump on board. I don't know. What do you guys think?
They definitely have enough if they want to make a package, and I might be having internet issues, so if I'm breaking up, just cut me off. But they have more than enough. I think the question is, how much do they want to give to get to a certain spot? Because it seems like the narrative and the predictions right now are Williams 1, Mayer Daniels 2, Mayer Daniels 3, and then it's J.J. McCarthy is in terms of QBs, fourth off the board. But where is 4 considered a reach at that point? You could argue probably so. Could he be there at 11 for them? Maybe, but we've also seen that there have been reports that the Giants at 6, I want to say, is where the Giants are selecting right now. They're incredibly high on J.J. McCarthy. And if he's there, he's off the board with us. That could just be a smokescreen as well. You really don't know, because it's a lot of they said, he said, she said type of things to kind of, we're misdirection over here. It's the magician 1A, 1B. Look at this hand while my other hand actually sets up the card trick going on behind my back, So they definitely have enough assets. It's just a matter of how many future firsts, you know?
That's it.
I think starting point is 11-23. The problem is if you want to get up into, say, three, you're thinking of a Drake May. You're thinking of a Jaden Daniels getting into that top three. The Patriots are holding the cards there. The Patriots, I think, are going to be tempted and will absolutely listen to, hey, you're going to turn that third overall pick. Are you really dead set in your first year as a brand new head coach? Are you dead set on you want the quarterback, or do you want to get some of the troops maybe in, you know, the trenches a little bit more involved? Do you want to get more of a supporting cast before maybe next year you take your stab at a quarterback, or next year is when, and granted, the Patriots have a lot of cap room. So could they make a splash in free agency next year too if they just want to try to get another high draft pick? They trade back and take 11-23. Do they want to take a third as well? Or are they going to be saying, no, we need another first. 2025, that's our pick. So it long-winded way, how bold does Kwesi want to be? How much does he want to cook, in your words, Jason? I think it really comes down to, like, it's going to be draft night and find it out. I would be shocked if there's a move made prior to those first times. I think it's going to be a heat of the moment type of deal.
Sure. I agree. I'm with you there. I 100% agree. And I think that if we were in the Bill Belichick era, I think that this would be a much easier move for us at that three, because he's a picks guy. Yeah. You know, I don't know how their new coach is going to be. Like you said, is he going to want his quarterback? I'm with you. I think if it were me, I'd want to build out some other elements of it before I just put, you know, get some draft picks, get that extra equity from other players at three if I were the Patriots, because there's no rush for them to win at this very moment, right? Mm-hmm. They could be just as bad this year and still be sitting three or five next year, and there could be their quarterback next year. So if anything happens, I see us going to three, but I think it might cost us something else in addition, next year's first round or second round, like you were saying. But at the same time, what I don't want to see is I don't want to see us jump up to five for J.J. McCarthy. Mm, that
fair.
I don't want that. If risk it, and I'll go with you, AJ, Artis.
It's all good.
I'll go with you, and I'll take Penix. I'll go a little bit later. And that's a very strong possibility, too, that you can get a guy at 11, possibly, and then still fill someone up at 23. That, you know, and with all the defense, and you were saying filling that defense, we have made a lot of, you know, B+, A- sure. defensive signings in my eyes that really are changing this defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with what Brian Flores did with what he had last year and what I feel like the youth he's gotten with the free agency this year. And these are guys that he wanted. He clearly wanted some of these gentlemen. And I think that our defense is better. Our offense is already loaded. You got to go for a quarterback, but I would not be mad if they stayed where they were at and get a couple more, you know, elements, you know, maybe an inside defensive lineman, something like that. I don't know.
And I'm guessing if we do just stand pat, if the Vikings just decide to stay at 11, keep 23 and just accumulate, you know, young draft prospects, I'm guessing J.J. McCarthy will be long gone by then. I actually saw a report from Daniel Jeremiah this week that said there's a good chance that four of the top six picks this year will be used on quarterbacks. I mean, we've seen the stock rise insanely with J.J. McCarthy over the last several weeks, starting with the combine. And actually this transitions into another topic involving J.J. McCarthy, specifically with the Vikings, because did you guys hear that we have scheduled a private workout with Mr. McCarthy? Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofor-Mensah are going to go in person to watch him individually, just to assess him and see how everything is and to just talk to him and see if he's a good fit for the Vikings. I believe that Josh McCown, that's our new quarterback coach, I believe he will be attending his pro day or some kind of training session, I believe, to also get an evaluation on McCarthy. So, I mean, McCarthy's been the darling of the draft boards for the last several weeks. He's rising. I think it's pretty definitively clear that he will be a top five pick now. And with that, I mean, we've seen also some rumblings, guys, about other teams that we didn't necessarily think would move that now potentially could move. The Arizona Cardinals now have been rumored to potentially move from number four, just because, I mean, they've been speculated to draft a wide receiver. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is out there, but it's a deep draft for receivers. So the Cardinals might be looking at it and be like, all right, Marvin Harrison's great. He's he's obviously a name. He'll sell us a lot of jerseys. But here's Malik Nabers. Here's Aroma Dunze from Washington. It's a deep draft for receivers, so the Cardinals could also make get a king's ransom for any team that might need a quarterback, especially if these reports are true that JJ McCarthy is going to go in the top five. I agree with you guys. The Vikings probably won't make another move on draft capital until it is actually draft night. But if it's true that these teams that might move now because the wide receivers are it's just such a deep draft, then the Vikings are going to be even in more competition than I think we originally thought about trying to move up in this draft. And maybe, just maybe, there is one more trade that Kwesi may have to do to acquire a little bit more capital for this draft. I don't really know if that's the case. As of right now, though, I'm a little worried that we aren't going to have enough and that some other team is going to blow maybe like the Patriots or the Cardinals completely out of the water. Because I've even seen some speculation that if the Vikings do want to move like to number three and swap with the Patriots, it's going to cost us those two first round picks this year
and next year.
Probably a first round next year as well.
Nah, but that's
I know what you're saying. I don't think I want to do that either. Maybe if you can negotiate like a second or third round pick or multiples of those, maybe, and push them down years. I don't really know. But again, NFL teams are so desperate for quarterbacks. I feel like someone is going to do it. Somebody is going to give one of these teams a king's ransom to get one of these guys. Not necessarily Caleb Williams. I think that's a lot going to the Bears. But to get, and I don't think the Commanders are going to move either. I've heard absolutely nothing about Washington moving from that spot. And if they're smart, they should just draft a quarterback. And honestly, I'd say that about the Patriots too. If they were smart, if they're really setting the restart button too, just stay where you are and draft a quarterback, guys. Jane Daly and Drake May is going to be just fine.
They traded Sam Howell.
Yeah, so yes, that makes it even more like they're not moving. They're
exactly.
not moving.
Same thing with the Bears.
So we're going to have a lot of competition. Kwesi is going to have to really, I think, really be strategic and really not necessarily do something drastic, but really just be on his toes come draft day, because there is, like I said last week, any team that signed a bridge quarterback is going to be looking to draft a quarterback. And this is one of the best quote unquote draft classes we've had in quite a while. So I just imagine that the competition is going to be really stiff. But again, this is such an important offseason for Kwesi that I think he's also kind of willing to do what it takes. I just am in agreement with you guys. He shouldn't go too far. He shouldn't be giving up too much draft capital just for the sake of getting a quarterback now. Not that you won't ask, not that like we'll end up in a Christian Ponder situation because of that, but we just have to be a little bit more careful, especially because our drafts haven't been that great the last couple of years. We need our draft picks and we need those to hit. So, but
that's
why
why I like what we did with all of these signings. I mean,
let's get into that now.
The draft picks haven't been great the last few years. Let's be honest, right? Out of the first round, especially. But what they've done this year and the movement and this and the guys, and I
feel like we've signed every single linebacker that's been on the market.
Yeah.
We signed two more linebackers this past week, depth guys, but I mean, our linebacker depth was so, we couldn't count on guys like Brian Asamoah last year and stuff. So this has been absolutely necessary.
I like the moves.
I got to get you, Grant, because you know why they're doing this. Because they have the money to do it.
Because they got rid of Kirk.
Kirk is
gone.
So
I'm going to eat my crow. Yes. I'm going to eat my crow right now. I will do this right now.
Does it taste like chicken?
It tastes like Atlanta chicken, absolutely.
Tastes like Chick-fil-A chicken from down in Atlanta.
But here's the deal. Yes, we would have been stupid to give him the money, the guaranteed money. I know the years aren't exactly like 4 years. I know that that's not like set. But eating crow. Last time I was on this show, I wanted to keep Kirk. But not at that money, and that's what has made this so fun is that I am now seeing Danielle Hunter being gone, Kirk being gone, and what you can do with some money, and it has made my because it was confusion the last time I was with you guys. For me, I was confused.
Like, what's next?
But what are we gonna do? How are we gonna do it? But now we've made moves. We've got some draft capital, and I'm not as worried about our defense as I was before. So things are better in my world, but definitely. Eaton Crow on the. I'm happy that we moved on from Kirk Cousins. I didn't want to. I'm happy we did after seeing all that it has accumulated,
all that has manifested
from that. So yes, Crow.
But they do have to. They do. You brought up an interesting point. They do have to hit on quarterback, and I know, and this may be for AJ. Because I know that he's been really high on JJ McCarthy. I've been kind of iffy on him. Is he really the guy? Like they've really been looking
like
at him
it right now. Everybody's acting like
you know
it.
The Giants are looking at him. Other teams are looking at him, and I'm just like you know, initially I'm like, if you could possibly move up to three and grab a guy, you know, cool. And then all the JJ McCarthy stuff started to pop up, which is why I brought it up earlier. Well, maybe you got to move up to get him. I'm just looking at it like you guys scheduled a private workout with him. You guys are gonna check him out. Crazy as it may sound to some, I do trust Kwesi. I like most of the moves he's made. The draft has to be better, but I like most of the moves he's made, you know, last season and this offseason. I really trust KLC. I love him as an offensive play caller. I love him as a head coach. So I'm looking at them like, is this your guy? If this is your guy, then do what it takes to get him. But at the same time, I'm not sure about JJ.
All right, AJ, what do you think?
First off, with like the scheduled private meeting, Darren Wolfson, Doogie of Channel 5 Sports, I know that he reported with Mackie and Judd earlier in the week that they're also going to be traveling to face or to not face, but to see the pro days of both Drake May and Jaden Daniels. You know, like it's due process. And it's a matter of like they're window shopping. They're at the store looking at the different models of TVs. They know they're going to buy one. It feels like the paycheck just doesn't roll in for another 6 weeks or so. You know what I'm saying? So you want to get the final, like, what's the resolution? How many pixels? Is it a smart TV? Like can I mount it on my wall? They're doing their due diligence here. So I personally don't look too much into the private meetings. Like, I think it's good to know that they're not scheduling them with like Bo Nix. No offense, Jason.
There's the Bo Nix.
It's customary. But, you know, it happens. Like,
so I don't really care there. But when it comes to it, it's like the, you know, it goes back to kind of what you said, Aris. If they feel like it's their guy, really no pick I think is too high then. Like if they believe in their heart of hearts that this is a guy that they can develop, they can take and like turn into a Vikings franchise quarterback, what's stopping them from going as high as they want to? It's a matter of just like, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, quite literally. I mean, the thing about JJ McCarthy is like, you could say in the big arguments, like he didn't have to do it in college. Like Michigan ran the ball so much and were so good at it. If they could win games like that, why would they be like, you know what? We're going to go against everything we're good at. Similar to the Vikings in, I think it was against the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Like, why are we not handing the ball off to Chuck Foreman? You know, why are we changing our game plan entirely just to win a game and try to catch them by surprise? You stick to what you're good at, right? You stick to what you're good at. And what was Michigan great at all year? Handing the ball off. Power running, just being better than the opponent on the ground. So when it comes down to it, like you can make that knock all you want. But the thing is, at his combine, you saw that he was able to hit the receivers in stride. He was throwing the ball incredibly hard. He threw it, I think, 61 miles per hour, which clocked in, tied for second with the hardest thrown ball behind, I want to say, the Ole Miss guy who got to 62 miles per hour. So like we're not talking like he got blown out of the water here. This guy, he can throw the ball, and he showed that he's able to do it accurately. Sure, is there a lack of game film at times? Yes, but there's also, on the other side of things, if you look at a Drake May, he lost the ball through just his hands. I think in his college career, J.J. McCarthy had 11 interceptions. I want to say Drake May had 13. The difference there is fumble-wise, double-digit fumble, or I'm going to have my numbers messed up. I think it was 8 fumbles lost for Drake May, 1 for J.J. McCarthy. This guy had the ball in his hands.
Drake May got the small hands. Drake May,
All I'm saying is there's something to be said about ball security. Ball security is job security. And, you know, you're a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback, once he gets into the league, you expect interceptions. You expect – look at Peyton Manning rookie year. It just awful. But guess what?
Yeah.
He persevered. It comes down to the mindset. And I think that's where you see a guy like J.J. McCarthy. It's the intangibles. It's the stuff you can't see on paper. It's the stuff you can't measure. If you can't look at on – granted, you can, I guess, look at it on film. That's where these conversations in the private meetings that they're doing their diligence on, they're going to find out these things behind the scenes. It's the questions, it's the conversations, it's his work ethic, it's his attitude. How does, if he comes up against adversity, does he turn his back or does he face it head on? It's that type of things. And I'm going to trust that Kwesi and KOC, granted, we haven't seen a whole lot of it, I'm going to still give them the trust that they deserve to go ahead and like use this knowledge to usher in a new era of Minnesota Vikings football. And if they really think that JJ McCarthy is that guy, I think everything else is good enough to where if they feel that pushes it over the edge for trading up as high as they need to, I'm fine with JJ McCarthy. That's where I stand on that. I'm not saying I favor him over other guys.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a matter of, we know Caleb Williams will not be there for the Vikings.
No.
But any of those other three, I think Drake May and JJ probably fit the scheme that KOC wants to play a little bit more. But we know that Jaden Daniels is a phenomenal athlete and is going to be a top two prospect in the league. I just don't know if he fits as well into what the Vikings want to do. So you're changing, I think, more of the offense for that. Same with maybe a Michael, probably not Michael Penix as much, but there's stuff there with his injuries. But out of those other three guys, May, Daniels, McCarthy, I don't think you can really go wrong.
Okay. Question. If McCarthy's the guy, and this is me being ignorant to Michigan football, they ran a pro-style offense, right?
Jim Harbaugh, yep.
Harbaugh, right? Pro-style offense for the most part?
I would imagine so, yep.
Okay, so this is, and this is just a comparison I draw to J.J. McCarthy, maybe off the wall, but in 2016, UCLA, Josh Rosen, pro-style offense, very similar build. Now, I don't know about speed of arm and accuracy between the two of them, but I'm drawing a very, in my eyes, comparison of J.J. McCarthy to Josh Rosen.
Interesting.
And I know that's like a huge stretch, but both came out of pro-style offenses. Both one won a national championship and one did not. But so there's definitely like a separation of experience there. But I don't know. My McCarthy to me, he just seems like a lame duck. Is that wrong to say? Like, I want something with a little bit more.
You want a little more flash.
A little more flash. Yeah, like, he just doesn't. Fair. At least Drake May, he's got some flash to him. Yeah, he might fumble the ball a little bit more, but. I don't know. I the 61 mile an hour thing, I didn't know about that, AJ. That's a stat and a half. That's the stat of the day if I've ever heard one. And that's beauty if he's got that kind of arm strength and speed and accuracy. And I'm not basing this based off the championship because his game in the championship was not, you know, that you can't.
Right.
He didn't pass the ball very much in that game. But I don't know. I just J.J. McCarthy's the only one that I just.
You're a little hesitant.
Yeah, I don't know.
I understand.
What do you feel?
This was posed to me too. Who's the last UNC quarterback to be successful? Like, would you consider a good quarterback? Is it Mitch?
I don't think Trubisky counts. We're talking a guy with starter experience, a backup quarterback. And I mean, Mitch has probably had a longer career than the average NFL player usually does. So, yeah. I mean, I would. It's not been a complete train wreck of a career, just where he was drafted. Obviously, the expectations.
Yeah, but if you told me the future for JJ McCarthy is what Mitch Trubisky has, Drake May has is the future of Mitch Trubisky, I would say that's not a pick for the Vikings personally.
Yeah, no, that's no. Fair. Last thing you want is a Mitch Trubisky in the city.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we already
all.
Had a Christian Ponder, so I think we could deal with that. We could emotionally handle that, and we wouldn't be happy about it. Yeah. Back to the Josh Rosen thing. I'm pretty sure I found this quote that he said, like, right after he got drafted. He said, there were 9 mistakes made ahead of me, and I'm going to make sure over the next decade or so that they know that they made a mistake.
Oh, yeah. He was as hyped up as going into the draft as JJ is right now. That's
sure.
Like, he was the guy, you know, but he went 9, and it was after that.
I think there was a little bit of cockiness to Josh Rosen that kind of rubbed off not great in the NFL. You know what I mean? I think he kind of came in there, thought he was the guy, kind of had a little Johnny Manziel to him, and that's kind of why he kind of flamed out of the league. And also, maybe he just wasn't a very good player. I just think he had an attitude problem. And from all indications, I haven't heard a single thing about JJ McCarthy like being, you know, too big for his britches or anything like that. I've never heard like him having any controversy on social media, not being like, oh, I'm the Michigan quarterback. Do you know who I am? Nothing like that. He seems like a modest and humble guy from what I can tell. At least his name isn't in the media for saying things that he could potentially regret or anything. So I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. So I don't think this is potentially Josh Rosen 2.0. I think Josh Rosen just kind of had an attitude that just wasn't going to work in the NFL. And
he was traded.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely a difference.
He did kind of get mildly screwed over because the Cardinals drafted Kyler the very next year. He probably wasn't given a good enough shot in Arizona, but still, he was given chances afterward. He went to like Miami and some other teams too.
It just
didn't work out. So I think JJ McCarthy will ultimately be a better quarterback and have an actual like career than Josh Rosen did. Yeah. But I guarantee you're probably the only person here in Minnesota that made a JJ McCarthy and Josh Rosen comparison. I applaud you for that. That's fantastic.
Everybody keeps talking about this pro style offense and yada, 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 yada. They did the same crap with Josh Rosen and they hyped him up. And The body structure, the height, the skinny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I also don't like
when quarterbacks are like scouted to be, okay, they're going to be a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick. And then out of nowhere, right before the draft, oh, they're a top 5 pick. Usually when that happens, it goes south.
Yeah.
It goes south in most cases. I'm really interested in seeing this year, though, because there's a lot of hype around quarterbacks being drafted within the top 5. I'm really interested in seeing if anyone's going to drop because that normally happens too.
Yeah,
it's always These players are going to be drafted 1, 2, 3, and then next thing you know, JJ McCarthy. And I don't think this will happen, but next thing you know, JJ McCarthy, Mike Penix, all these guys are second round picks all of a sudden. So it's like, I think again, you got to play this one. If quarterbacks don't go off the market right away or off in the draft right away, don't be so, you know, anxious to move up and grab somebody, because the guy you're looking at might be there. He might be there when you draft at 11. And honestly, again, if you can, I'm willing to wait at 11. If you can, I'm willing to wait at 11. Now, if you see quarterbacks going left and right, it's like, all right, I got to go get my guy because somebody else is going to get him. But if you can, I don't know how this is done, but I will make those calls like before the draft. Pick one, pick two. All right, you guys, what you guys thinking? Oh, you guys all right? And then the moment I see quarterbacks going, all right, what y'all thinking? What you want for this pick? All right, let's do it. All right, go ahead. Okay, cool.
Get artists in the war room.
You know? Yeah.
Get them on the phone.
Like, wait, let's not call yet. Let's not call. It just took another quarterback. All right,
Hold on. Let's let it ring 3 times and then we'll pick it up. Let's make it like we're leaving them hanging a little bit.
Exactly.
And we're on the phone.
Exactly.
Got to make it work, right?
Oh, my gosh. A little cat and mouse. Like, do I want to call? Not yet. Oh, probably call. You should probably call now.
Send him a text, okay?
Because I just got a weird feeling.
You want to make a trade? Okay.
Right. I just got a weird feeling, man. Some of these guys are going to fall. Some of these guys are going to fall to 11. I think somebody will fall in the Vikings lap is what I'm saying.
That'd be great. That would be great. That is best case scenario right there. When we don't have to give up any draft capital and we still potentially get the franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
That'd be great. But like, I don't want to be reaching for guys like Penix or Nix with that 11th overall pick. I don't think anybody is going after them. But I've actually seen now Penix, and this is my during AJ $20. I've seen Penix now getting mocked into the first round. So that's good news. That's good news for AJ.
Penix is going to be a good player in the league.
I hope so too. He deserves it. Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy, I know that's a problem. Jason has brought it up before. But Penix is going to be good, depending on the offense. Especially if he was drafted by the Vikings. Say, okay, they drafted somebody else. Say, somehow, some way, they stayed at 23 and they got him at 23 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Coming into this offense with these weapons, Penix is going to be nice.
You got weapons. And we're a pocket passing team.
Yep.
It'd be nice to have some legs.
Yes,
you know?
That's very true.
That would be a nice option like you have with Jalen Hurts. But but I think that you're right. With the weapons that this team has offensively, it's not like as much of a dire situation where you're gonna blow this kid's confidence because he's got Justin Jefferson, he's got Addison, he's got Hawkinson, and now we got Aaron Jones.
Because last time I checked, there was a report, and we might have talked about this last week too, but I forget. There was a report out that said that Justin Jefferson wasn't going to sign long term until he saw what the plan was for the future at quarterback.
Yes.
I wonder, because I know like he kind of talked about Justin Fields a little bit. I wonder,
glad you brought that up,
if he looks at this draft and he is singling out a quarterback that he wants the Vikings to draft. I wonder who that guy is. I wonder who he's singling.
I like
I wonder
what you're
if
thinking.
He's singling someone out and who that guy is.
He is.
Yeah.
But I hope he's also
his alma mater guy, probably.
Yeah. But I hope JJ at the same time is open for whoever the Vikings might potentially get. Like, I hope JJ's not going into the offense saying, I want this guy, and I'm not going to be happy if I don't get this guy. I don't think that's the right way to approach that situation.
I mean, but he may be. And I think that's a part of the AJ. I think that's the part of the reason why, you know, maybe KOC is so aggressive right now, or Kwesi is so aggressive right now, getting those two picks. Because it's like, I got to make a splash at this quarterback position in the draft in order to keep my guy happy.
Let me ask you guys this, though, really quick, because the news finally broke. The Bears finally figured out what they did with Justin Fields. We all would have given up a 2025 6th-round conditional pick for Justin Fields.
Oh,
correct?
Yes. He chose,
that could be a fourth rounder.
But he chose to go there, and they honored him with that.
I understand, but I mean, if that was, I'm looking at the compensation that they were given, and that's what could have been gotten for Justin Fields.
But that's only because he chose. They said to him, I mean, even what's the tight end for Cement or
Komet?
They came out and they told all the players that they were going to trade him. They let him give a list of what four teams that he wanted to be a part of, and that was the one that he wanted. I mean, that was a trade out of respect.
Man,
you're not going to, you know, any random team ain't going to get him at that price. I think that was out of respect from the Bears to him, which is very cool to see. I don't think that happens very often, but
no,
I don't know. I mean, I would have loved even Russell Wilson at $1.2 million.
That's the thing. Going to the what that quarterback room? They've already announced that Russ is the starting quarterback too. They have announced that Justin Fields is the backup. So I'm just kind of wondering what Mike Tomlin is. I'm scratching my head, even though I shouldn't doubt Mike Tomlin because he's Mike Tomlin and he's very good at his job. But it's very interesting. I know you have.
$10 million for Darnold and $1.2 for Wilson.
Come on, man.
I think we got to talk. We got to mention this with Russ, though. I got to mention this with Russ. I think the word gets around plenty, but over the last several months, I have heard members of the Vikings Entertainment Network go on the record basically saying that they don't want to work with Russell Wilson on public record. Word gets around.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if eventually that got back to Russell Wilson's camp and he was like, well, geez, if like people that are employees of the team are talking smack against me, I'm not going to go to Minnesota.
I know who you're talking about.
I know you know who I'm talking about, too. And if listeners are smart, they know who I'm talking about as well. So, frankly, I mean, even if the money obviously would have worked in Minnesota, I don't know. I think there may have been some burning of bridges happening already before Russell Wilson was even cut from the Denver Broncos that would have made coming here a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. And guessing how uncomfortable things were with the Broncos, I'm guessing Russell Wilson didn't have much interest in that.
You know how you cure that uncomfortability?
Winning.
If he got out here and started winning, I'm sure everybody will be a whole lot more comfortable. That's just me. I don't know who said that, but that's just me. That's just, you know, I was really high on it. I think he's going to do very well with the Steelers, with Mike Tomlin and that offense. Their defense is already decent. They got some playmakers out there, especially on the defensive line. So we'll see what they do. But I thought that would be a massive – well, not massive. Let me not force it. It would have been a good pickup. We'll see about Sam Darnold, and we'll see who they draft. But y'all know how I feel about Sam Darnold. I ain't got to go on a tangent of him throwing more interceptions than touchdowns.
Say that to Terry Bradshaw's face, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't Terry Bradshaw only have like four more touchdowns and interceptions or something crazy like that? Gosh. But he's got four rings.
I mean, you got rings, you know. Sam Darnold ain't got no ring.
Not yet. Anyway. A last little tidbit for the Vikings, just worth mentioning really quick before we move on to a little Wolves conversation, I would imagine. I was kind of wondering, guys, when we were going to finally sign a cornerback. We did. Shaq Griffin, 1-year deal, upwards of $6 million potentially guaranteed. Split time with the Texans, and I forget the other team he also split time with a little bit. Maybe it was the Carolina Panthers. But we need cornerback depth. And I was kind of wondering, hey, look at all these linebackers we're signing. Where are the cornerbacks? Where's, you know, maybe guys like Stephon Gilmore and stuff like that, who I think believe is still out there. But I'm at least finally glad to see. I love all the other signings we got, but yes, we finally signed a free agent cornerback. that's just a good little bit of housekeeping that the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Minnesota Vikings needed to do, but still probably some more work needs to be done too. Let's move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves now, gentlemen. I don't know about you all, but the Michael Jordan comparisons with Anthony Edwards were just roaming free all week, and you better believe it was because of that awesome dunk against the Utah Jazz. I hope John Collins is doing much better. I know that he actually was like potentially diagnosed with a concussion after that. That's some scary actual stuff. But my goodness, potentially the dunk of the year in the NBA. It had Twitter and the whole NBA world a frenzy. And then, sure, you maybe had a little bit of a letdown losing to the Denver Nuggets in a heated top of the Western Conference matchup, although you didn't have Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert. So I'll throw this out to you, gentlemen. Even though we're bummed that the Wolves lost the Nuggets, are we still feeling maybe a little bit of a moral victory considering that they had a really good game despite not having their best players on the court? AJ just freaked out about something. I don't know what he's so excited
USA!
About.
USA!
USA! USA! Okay. I was about to ask, before we start, what is going on with AJ?
Moral victory.
CONCACAF semifinals against Jamaica. Greg Berhalter's squad gave up a goal in the first minute. They just scored at the death, the level 1-1. Matt Turner came up. Oh my God.
Let's go.
Ty Robinson. Pride of Fulham.
USA. Oh my gosh.
Great. I was wondering what was going on over there, bro.
He was over there sweating.
March Madness, everybody. It's everywhere. You can't contain it. Anyway, what were we talking about? The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves and the Jordan comparison. Yeah. Jordan said it himself.
He did. I was going to bring that.
Today or yesterday.
Yeah, Chris Broussard reached out to him and said, like, yeah, Michael's talking very highly of Anthony Edwards. So I don't know, guys. I mean, is the hype train justified here? Absolutely. Should we slow down a little bit after that loss to the Nuggets, or are we feeling good right now?
That Nuggets game, that's a whole different ball game with our squad out there.
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, they beat the Nuggets earlier this season.
Yeah, completely different. I mean, you got your three big men are out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's your three biggest men on the team are out. That's a different ball game. I wouldn't even call that a moral victory. I don't even like that term. God, I hate that term.
Well, you're about to hate what I might say, because I'm definitely, you know, to your point, if you lose every game of a playoff series by 1 point, you got swept.
Yeah, ain't no moral victory there. It's a loss.
But I will say this. I was at the game where they played Denver, and one of my thoughts, I didn't say it out loud, but one of my thoughts while I was watching was legit, this dude is Kobe Bryant.
And this dude's you're the biggest Laker fan I know.
And really high on Kobe, my favorite player ever. This dude is Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, he might not have the touch of the shot at times. He's got that. That look, it's the look in his eyes. Those
determination.
That determination, you guys know, the two games where he took over and he was just standing there. I mean, hands on his knees, just looking like that. There's just something there that it's exciting.
They were down like 15, 16 at halftime, and I'm like, yeah, this game's over. Honestly, when Rudy Gobert, when I found out Rudy wasn't going to play, I'm like, this game's, they're going to get smoked. But, dude, down 15 at halftime to come back, and I know you don't like the moral victory thing, trust me, I understand that.
Mm-mm.
But, man, they competed in ways I don't think anybody thought they would, including Denver.
Yeah.
They gave Denver a tough time, especially on defense, with double teams. And, I mean, they did a number on them without some of their best defenders on the, or one of their best defender on the floor in Rudy Gobert. So, I'm honestly, you know, you beat Utah, you know, on a back-to-back, and, you know, you play – you know, the best team in the league, so they say, or one of the best, the defending champion Denver Nuggets.
They've been pretty hot since the All-Star break.
They have. And you come within a wide open 3-point
shot. Oh, I know. It was too wide open.
Wide open 3-point shot. Wide open. The tie. And who knows what happens when you get into overtime. It does leave you feeling really optimistic. It really does. It leaves you feeling really optimistic heading into the playoffs. Like, you know, when we get everybody back healthy, I'm not sure if you really fear anybody in the West. In all honesty.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I love the excitement. Game on. I mean, I'm rocking T-Wolves head to toe.
I was going to say,
you are completely drenched in Wolves swag.
It's an all black. That's fly. But that's fly.
But like I said the first time I was on the show with you guys.
Get out of the first round.
Let's get out of that first round. I don't care. After that, then I'm all in. I was about to say the F-bomb. All in after that. But we got to get through that first round. Just let's just do one thing we've only done once, one time before we get ahead of ourselves.
If they're healthy, get going into the playoffs.
And we mean that if Cat is healthy. That's what we mean.
If guys are healthy going into the playoffs, I have immense faith that they'll make a run this year. And I mean, agree. A run.
I'm with you.
I'm talking Western Conference Finals run.
That'd be
I have that type of faith in them. If you're going into the playoffs and you don't have Cat and Rudy's out and you're dealing with all of these, because like, one could say, okay, these guys will play through these injuries in the playoffs, and they might, right? But at the same time, these knick-knack injuries kind of pile up to the point where you miss key games in the playoffs. And then it's like, you have confidence against these teams, but this is the postseason. You need these guys. You need Rudy. Yeah. You need Nas. You need Ant to be 100% or close to, and you need Cat, right?
Yeah.
So, again, healthy, I'm confident. But if you're going into these series without health,
yeah.
Let me know who's on the floor. Let's just say that. You know, okay, Cat's not there. Okay, who is Nas there? Is Rudy there? What's the matchup? Okay, then we can kind of reassess. But Grant, what the Wolves, and I'm not, people are going, you're a homer. I'm not even from the area. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's close enough. You know, it's a border state.
People will be like, you're a Bucks fan, so there's no way I'd root for the
Timberwolves.
Even worse,
people call you a Packer fan. You don't want that.
I've never been a Packer fan. Not a Bucks fan either.
He's an Eagles fan, so I don't know how you feel about that.
Shout out to Saquon. But anyway, they have shown me throughout this season that they can compete with anybody healthy or not, which is why I'm like,
the regular season is
different than the playoffs, but man, this team, they compete.
I'm not denying that. I'm not trying to like take away the thunder from what has been the most exciting season to watch for us since 20 years. It has been probably the most exciting in history. I mean,
without a doubt,
numbers and wins alone at the point in where they are, this is the best team we've ever had. And if we are healthy, I agree. We are going to probably go on a run. Mm-hmm. But I'm just being the Minnesota fan that I am, and I've just got
to okay.
taper it.
That's okay.
I got to taper it. I'm loving these regular season games. I'm loving seeing Ant with that. Mm-hmm. I love it. And one question, but this is going to sound bad. What is Nas Reed's official injury after he went out of that game with his?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Was it an eye? Did we know? AJ, you know?
It just said, I just saw head. That's all head. I saw. I don't
know. It might have been a concussion.
Maybe.
Are we getting concussions in the NBA now, boys?
Well, if Anthony Edwards is throwing down sick dunks like that, yeah, apparently.
Again, I would quote that as a throwdown.
Yeah, looking at head injury right now. Yeah.
I just looked up and he was out.
I didn't even see anything happen. I thought he got poked in the eye.
I don't know. I just haven't heard anything since, so I don't know if you guys, sorry to like just derail that.
I was just curious
because he, you know, the way he has stepped up as soon as Cat went down, I was like, oh man, this guy, this is a perfect opportunity for him.
You know who I'm really encouraged by, because he was shooting the lights out of the barn against the Nuggets, was Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
The corner threes were
finally
hitting
got
again.
The ball.
And
finally
I'm
got his
very happy
back,
with
yeah.
that because, look, I mean, if we are going to make this postseason run that you guys want to, whether we're healthy or not, we need Jaden McDaniels to be better offensively.
Yeah, he
We
hasn't been
love him on defense. He is shut down. He has a chance of being all NBA defender this year. There's no doubt about it. And sure, he's still shooting upwards of like 50% from the field, but still. In terms of efficiency, in terms of volume, we just need to see a little bit more. And with these injuries, that's kind of going to happen by default for Jaden McDaniels. And he was really clutch at the end of the game against the Nuggets. So was Jordan McLaughlin. That's honestly what's been a very underrated storyline, actually, is just how well J-Mac's been playing, even though Monty Morris is still on this team. J-Mac has been playing absolutely wonderful and has been deserving a ton of minutes. And Monty's getting his minutes too, but it's just made the whole backup point guard issue that we've talked about with this team all season not really much of an issue right now, which is absolutely fantastic. My last thing really quick on that Nuggets-Timberwolves game. Now, revisionist history, you know, butterfly effect, a lot of different things can happen, you know, depending on what scenario is presented to you. There's no guarantee that the Wolves were going to win that game if Rudy and if Nas Reed had played. And the only reason I'm thinking that that might be the case is because of the particular stat line with Nikola Jokic and the fact that he only had 2 assists in the ball game. 14 of 22 field goal percentage, 35.16 rebounds. You better believe when they announced around like 4 o'clock in the afternoon that Rudy and Nas weren't going to play. Nikola was totally just like, all right, yes, here we go. I'm going to have an offensive firepower game that I don't normally have, because normally I'm getting out triple doubles and I'm usually trying to get the other team involved. Jokic took control of that game in a way that, frankly, the normal Nuggets team wouldn't necessarily play. But that just shows how good of a team they are. So as much I don't like moral victories either. You know, we got a good team. Like, I want to win at this point, but I'm not also going to be someone who's going to say, oh, if our guys would have been in, we would have smoked the Nuggets.
No, they
played completely different how they normally do.
We are a tough matchup for them, though.
Yes, we are.
NBA playoffs, especially, is all about matchups.
And
our length, our speed, our size, our physicality really bothers them, and it bothered them last year too, but the Wolves hadn't just quite developed yet,
right?
Nas didn't play either. So, like, I agree with you, Jason. They would have played better, but we beat them too before this season.
And
it's like, and I'm looking at it like, they can play as different as they want, but when we're – if we can just get fully healthy before we play these guys, they can be had.
Right.
And the Wolves can take them out.
And to piggyback off of that, and to piggyback off of your point, because you said the last thing was how they played differently, what I saw last night in that Denver game was depth that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that, so this is obvious. I mean, you guys saw, anybody who saw that, guys that, you know, that we don't even hear about, talk about, were playing ball.
Yes.
You know, and there was, in the beginning of the year, lack of depth on this bench comments, yada, yada.
It was real. I mean, it was legit.
It was.
The stats bared it out. Yeah.
But now... I mean, everybody has been stepping up. Mm-hmm. Even the last guy on the totem pole has been stepping up.
TJ Warren has been awesome since we signed him to these 10-day contracts. That's very useful.
The moral victory I'm getting out of it is the depth I saw.
Hypocrite. They walked out of that game.
Hypocrite.
They are the defending champs for a reason. They're a great team. They are great at making adjustments. They are one of the best closing teams in the league. They know how to close a game just as well as anybody. But they said last year, and I think it was Bruce Brown last year came out and said that they were the toughest challenge that they faced
in the
all postseason.
Us. So they said that.
Coming into this year, already losing the game to us once, fighting for that number one seed, coming to within 3 points of it being a tie game, going into overtime without Nas, Rudy, or Kat. The Nuggets don't leave that game with a ton of confidence against the Wolves. They're going to act like they do because they're the defending champs and they naturally have a ton of confidence.
Yep.
We got Jokic and we got Jamal. We got Michael Porter Jr. who's lights out.
He was
my goodness.
So good. He was
lights out. You know, we got guys, but they don't want to play the Wolves.
No,
like they are hoping. I'm sure they won't say it out loud, but in that locker room, they like, yeah, we don't. When healthy, we don't really want to see those guys.
Didn't they
come playoff time?
Sweep everybody after us.
Did the Lakers win one?
No, they didn't.
Phoenix
sweep
got
the Heat.
Two games off of
Phoenix
them.
Got two
because
the Lakers
KD
got swept.
Miami
got two games out of them or one game out of
one
them.
Game.
I forget one game. That's right.
Yeah, and KD and Book just went crazy for two games at home.
Right.
But after that, it was a wrap
that's
for
right.
them. So, you know.
Oh man,
exciting stuff, guys.
Exciting stuff. Speaking on a wrap, though, I was going to come on the show today and try to be a little positive about the Minnesota Wild, considering, as I believe it currently stands, they're only 3 points back out of a playoff spot. They're inching closer and closer to that last wild card. But then you have a game like last night, and I watched it in its entirety because it was on during my shift, a 6-0 just complete drubbing at it's not Staples Center more artist. What is it called now? What is Staples called
crypto,
now?
Crypto.com.
That probably won't be a name that's on there for too much longer either way.
Harold, what Charles Barkley say? Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
AJ, like I said, I was going to come on here a little optimistic, but that just totally just left my body after the Kings scored that goal in the second period, just a couple seconds in. The Wild had a chance to maybe get back into it, but then it was just... The air was let out of the balloon. We got Joel Eriksson Ek injured. We got Jonas Brodin injured. Thankfully, might not be an ACL. But are you going to come on here today and spread any positivity about the Minnesota Wild, or are you feeling just as down as I am?
Stop. USA just scored an extra time.
Hey, let's go!
I think it was Haji Wright, but don't hold to that name. Anyways,
my guy,
no,
I love you.
No, there's no. I'm not gonna come on and speak positivity because
thank you.
Frankly, when the eyes finally turn to them and they have an opportunity to steal points away from a team that they could potentially be, and I say potentially because the Kings, they're in the West, so if they fall beneath the top three, then they're battling for the wild card spots as well. A chance to steal 2 points and gain that in the standings, and they crap the bet. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, who's 39 years old, He's been asked to not be the starting goaltender of this team and like carry this team on its back to the playoffs.
Five straight games, right?
And he's been playing out of his mind. Gets zero help last night. Granted, maybe it wasn't his best performance either, but it doesn't help when you get zero help in front of you as a goalie. Penalty kill has been an issue all season long, and it was on full display last night. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible showing by the penalty killing unit. John Hines continues to also have very odd like ice timing. Merit Husnaninov needs to be playing more, whereas like I feel bad for Brock Faber. 30 minutes. This is a 21-year-old rookie, and you're asking him to put up like veteran workhorse defenseman numbers, and he's been able to do that. But now with Jarrett Spurgeon out, he's been out. Jonas Brodin is now out for the foreseeable future, at least through the end of the week. I mean, the guy can only do so much. Like, you're asking too much of these guys. And the problem is they also don't have the depth. Kirill Kaprizov has been a monster since his return and has been healthy. We're seeing since like February 19th, I want to say, he's been like one of the hottest NHL players in the league scoring wise. He's been putting up ridiculous numbers with the best of them. It's just him. You have the occasional, like a Matt Boldy steps up, or a Matt Zuccarello has a big night, or Joel Eriksson Ek, who, you know, is out currently right now. They're missing too many key guys. And we've seen that like the depth players, the role players on this team aren't good enough or talented enough to step up and rise to the occasion. And the guys who are supposed to be doing that, Marcus Johansson, Freddie Gaudreau, who were extended, are just not. On top of it, those guys keep getting a lot of ice time every night. But we're just seeing low quality performances. And Ryan Hartman, who I have been critical of because I think he's a great like third line center, he rose to the occasion for like 2.5 weeks, and I was like, okay, way to go, Ryan. I'm loving it. You're playing disciplined hockey. You're working hard. You're generating offense. You're contributing. You're keeping the flow moving. Last night, I think he was benched for like the entire second period. And then his first shift of the third, after being benched for that long, he got into a cross-check fight with Pierre-Luc Dubois that ended with him saying, hey, let's drop the gloves, and then punching Pierre-Luc Dubois before he could even answer the bell. So it's just right now the team is in a terrible spot also, because over the next week they play once. Vegas is directly in front of them. So the Wild currently 70 games played, 76 points. Vegas 68 games played, 79 points, 3 ahead of the Wild. They play 4 times over the next week compared to the Wild 1.
Yeah, that's
not
good.
That is not.
And they got 2 games in hand. Right. And they got 2 games in hand.
Question. So that right now, they're not in a playoff spot. It's going to look even worse a week from now after Vegas wins 3 of 4, let's say. Anyways, Grant, yes.
Question for you. So, like, I'm not a big Wild, as you guys, I watch playoff hockey.
You're a Timberwolves super fan. You don't have time for the Wild.
But my question to you is, and I heard another analyst talking about this, might have been Mark Parrish. Before or after the Blues game, because when Kaprizov got that goal, when he switched the lineup, I've been hearing a lot of rumblings about, have we been playing like the same lines constantly and there's not a lot of line changing, like mixing up of the lines? Because from what I heard this analyst, and I believe it was Mark Parrish, say, it was something to the extent of all night, you know, Kaprizov was in the same line, and then all of a sudden he went down to the third line, and they had to adjust. And we're not switching our lines up enough for teams to adjust, and we're kind of just like showing our cards a lot. I mean, this may be completely obvious again to a guy that doesn't know hockey very well, but this was just something I heard. If that's the case, why are we not switching up our lines as much, or am I just completely off course here, AJ?
No, you're not.
Do you know what I'm talking about? When Kaprizov scored that goal in the Blues game.
Is it just more of a depth issue more than anything else?
I'm not maybe sure the exact what you're talking about, but like for a long time this year, you had that top line of Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, and Zuccarello, or it was Hartman in the middle between Zuccarello and Kirill. And that was my biggest gripe, was I get that they're friends and we've seen that they play well together. Kirill Kaprizov is too dynamic of a player to be handcuffed to that Zuccarello, who I think is a quality player and a good winger, but like I need him to shoot the puck more. There's so much more to his game that I want him to do, and we just don't see it. So I thought it was handcuffing Kirill a little bit. They've now shifted over the past stint here for a number clear one top line of Kirill, Eriksson Ek, Boldy.
Yep.
Eriksson Ek hurt. You slot Ryan Hartman in. But the problem is, like you're saying, other teams, it is so easy to be like, I'll put this in NBA terms. I'll put this in football terms. There is one good skill player in the other offense, and it's, let's just say it's Justin Jefferson. So who do you have to cover? Justin Jefferson. Everybody else, they're probably going to drop it if it hits them in the chest, right? Justin Jefferson is who we have to worry about. And guess what? If it's one guy, it's kind of easy to do that. There's nobody else stepping up, and that's where the Wild, where like you can mix and match all you want, but you're mixing and matching broken pieces and puzzle pieces that just don't fit together. You've got three different jigsaw puzzles on the ground, and you're just trying to like, you're trying to jam them together and work, but no pictures. It's what's the painter that just like threw splats on Picasso. The, on the canvas. It's just Picasso. Sure. Bob Ross. Why not?
It's
the opposite of Bob Ross because there's no happy clouds. Zero happy clouds right now.
not at the XL Energy Center.
Zero. Dark and stormy, baby.
Salvia Dali or whatever. He was kind of all over the place.
It's just going to be funny because a week from now, we're going to look at the standings. The Wild are going to be only 2 points back of the final West spot, probably, just as luck would have it. But no, I agree with you, AJ. I mean, Vegas made a ton of moves at the deadline. We expect them to play better, even though they're, what, like 4-6 in their last 10. They still got, what is it, a plus 14-point differential, goal differential, I should say. So, yeah, as much as maybe the standings still look appealing, we still just, Wild fans, you still just got to maintain course about exactly what your expectations need to be for this season. And with the team, we probably are going to end the season a borderline playoff team. We may be a couple points back, but... And that's going to hurt. That may sting, especially for a franchise that is very proud of making the playoffs. We had all the streaks with Parisian Suter making the playoffs, and I get all that, and that's fine. That might sting a little bit, but ultimately it will be for the better health of the franchise. And, yeah, it was a rough patch against the LA Kings, especially because you had such a good game against the Anaheim Ducks, and it's just that two sides of a coin in that kind of instance. You have a strong performance. Ducks are terrible, and I totally get that. But it's just so disappointing that you just go north up, the 95 in Los Angeles there. You go to a different arena, and you just look like the five. Okay. Yeah you used to live out there. The you get the five.
405.
Because that's what Californians do. They call it the before the all five, the free. It's not like the 494 or the 394. It's the five.
The five.
You know, they're pretentious.
That is true. We do call it the five.
So, yeah. The Wild still, I mean, they still got a couple, like, cookies in terms of who they face this upcoming week. I believe they got the Blues again, even though that didn't go well in St. Louis last time. That was an overtime game. Got the Sharks coming up. So there are teams in which you can use to climb up the standings, but let's just pump the brakes. But this wild team won't let us pump the brakes fully because they just keep staying close enough where we're having conversations such as these, and it's I don't know, hockey's a weird sport. Weird sport.
And that's the thing, like, when they're healthy, they have enough talent to where they're a playoff team and very competitive. And right now you're seeing, like, even hurt, I mean, they're right there. They've been hurt a lot of the season, but the problem is nobody else is able to step up. It goes back to the depth. And so these other teams have, I mean, they're just built so different. Look at the St. Louis Blues. They don't maybe have as much like of that top end star power with like a Kaprizov, but they have a Jordan Kyrou. They have they just have depth guys to where they're going to step up, and they're all consistent. And it's just so frustrating because you're seeing the same thing with the Wild that the Vikings did. Terrible start to the year. Just awful. Okay. Well, you know what? That's fine. Let's just get a good pick. Nope. We're going to go on a tear, and we're going to get healthy, and we're going to rally around the new coach, and we're gonna win 11-16, and boy, are we bad at the hockey. We're back in it. We're back where you doubted us, and doubt us again because we stink again. We're hurt, and we're not scoring, and the Coyotes are beating us in our own barn, and oh, my God. Just now you're going to find yourself where you're drafting 14th overall because it sucks. They frankly are just too good to draft any higher, but they're not good enough when slightly hampered and hurt to be a playoff team. So, you know, we're just going to have to hope that people fall or they find a diamond in the rough at the draft.
Yep, not weird, wild. That's really a good encapsulation of kind of the team this season. Artists, don't sneer at me because that is actually the team slogan that they've used for commercials this season. That is a company made.
I'm not a hockey guy.
Beginning of the year, they had all, like, when they did the Gus Bus commercial or whatever. Yeah, not weird, wild. That's the bit. Because, you know,
I wouldn't know.
That's kind of how this season.
No
marketing department should hire me in any capacity. No, I am not that smart. Right. I am not that smart. I just host Taxi Squad. That's all I do. We got to wrap things up, gentlemen. Another lively show as always. I love how just the Minnesota Vikings are just keeping the conversation going. Kwesi's cooking. Let's see if he can actually make a decent meal for all of us. Get that franchise quarterback. Hopefully the Wolves will continue stabilizing everything with Carl Anthony Towns injury and the other injuries that they have. And Wild, just do whatever you want at this point. Me and AJ don't care. Just go do whatever you want, and it'll be just fine. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap it up today? No, okay, great.
I need Kentucky.
Are they about to lose
this game?
Do they lose?
They are down two with like 4 minutes left.
Please.
Our guy, Munson. Not Munson. Who is the Oakland? No, not Oakland. That's Long Beach State.
And they lost today. They lost earlier
I do
today.
This to myself Munson. every
you picked
year.
Kentucky, didn't you?
No, I didn't pick them to win at all. But I do this to myself every year, guys. I put the bracket together. I feel so good. I read all the descriptions. I watch some of the games, look at the film, all that. I'm like, okay,
what a waste of time.
This is the year. And I look up in the little bracket challenge that I'm in. Out of 11 people, I'm in ninth place. Like,
there
you
go,
what?
Bro. That's why I don't do them. I don't even
Hey, top 10.
Them.
Top
this
10.
This is a
Not
word
bad.
That
top
I can't say on this airway, so I'll say it when we get off the air.
Okay. It's F?
Yes.
There you go. Fire truck?
It's BS. That's what I was
going to say. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Grant or AJ, anything else?
I mean, the Twins are coming around the corner here.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Hey, I'm so pissed about the Blake Snell trade. I'm so pissed about
the
Blake Snell.
You thought we were
going to
sign him?
No, of course I didn't think we were going to sign him, but I don't like when our owners come out and say there's no possibility that we can sign somebody like that. I'm just very frustrated.
But we all knew that was going to happen.
I know, but when the reality actually presents itself, it upsets me, Grant. I know.
Trust me, man. I'm a diehard
Twins guy.
I know.
I'll see opening day.
We'll be there. But that Blake Snell move, that was never going to happen. We ain't signing anybody.
But our ownership doesn't try to win, and it makes me frustrated.
Yeah, well, that's the Poleds' problem.
I don't know. Anyway, so. Right.
April 4th, baby. April 4th. Let's win
stock to wrap up Taxi Squad here on the show. Gentlemen, thank you again for another lively show. We'll see you again next week. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to the Score North Taxi Squad. We will see you next week as well. Have a blessed week. We'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.